recordings have now been started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 27th of August, 2014. On the call today, we have Olivier Kouami, Alan Greenberg, Ann Aikman-Scalise, Klaus Stoll, Almer Elstar, Chuck Jones, J. Scott Evans, Tom Barrett, Greg Shadden, and Michael Graham. Joining us shortly should be Cheryl Langdon Orr. I show no apologies for today's conference. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Amy Bivens, Steve Chan, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Chuck.
Thank you very much, Terry, and welcome everyone. Just to get started, does anyone have an update for their statement of interest? Another question, is there anyone that is on the call but not in Adobe Chat or in Adobe Connect? Excuse me. So everyone's in Adobe, so I can just look for raising of hands. Certainly, if you get kicked out of Adobe and need to speak up, please let us know. All right. So everyone should have had a chance to review the latest version of the Deliverable One template with the added notes. I guess I shouldn't be quite so confident because the updates with the comments from the three groups that responded to our request for comments were just put in there early yesterday. So my question is, first of all, does anybody need more time to review that latest version of the template and suggest any edits or additions or corrections? Should we wait until next week to do the approval of that? Approval meaning, of course, that we're okay with it as it stands now. That doesn't mean we can't change things later. Does anyone need more time on that? Please speak up if you'd like more time. It's okay if you do. If not, okay, thanks, Amr. That's fine. So why don't we just defer till next – let's leave this item on the agenda for next week, J. Scott, if you're okay with that, and ask people, and then Mary, if you can send something out to the list to ask people to provide any comments or feedback on that before next week's meeting, at which time we will close that for now, understanding that everything we do is subject to improvement as we move forward. Is that okay, J. Scott?
Sounds great.
Okay. And Mary, you'll send out a notice in that regard, right?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Okay. I appreciate that from J. Scott and from Mary. Chuck speaking again. So let's go on to agenda item 3, unless anybody wants to talk about that template. That's possible. Just raise your hand if you'd like to. Otherwise, I'll go on to agenda item 3. And agenda item 3 is pretty short. We have the letters of thanks to the ISPCP, the ALAC, and the Registry Stakeholder Group went out and gave them some sense of how we are, how we have considered, are considering, and will consider their input. So that's a task that is completed. And a letter via email also went out to the stakeholder groups and constituencies requesting their feedback on the flowcharts for the two new processes that we're considering. So those have gone out, and we set a deadline in terms of the feedback. And I think that was that September 15th, Mary?
Chuck, I don't recall offhand. I'm sorry, but that sounds about right.
I think that's right. But anyway, what I would like each of you to do that represent your groups in this working group to please try and get them to meet that deadline and respond. In this case, I'm happy to say the feedback we're asking is really quite limited. The first time we asked for feedback, there was a very large number of questions, and it was a huge task. We're not really asking for a lot in terms of feedback. At a minimum, we'd like them to, as you can tell by the letter, to tell us if they think we're in the right direction, going in the right direction with regard to these two possible new processes. And anything else they want to tell us about that would be fine, too. So please let people know we're not looking for a lot, but it would be nice to get a general sense that we're going in the right direction at least, and anything else they want to provide is welcome. So if each person would try and encourage that discussion and response by the middle of September, that would be very helpful. Any questions or comments on any of the letters that have gone out? Okay, Amr.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Amr. I will try to get feedback on the chat so as quickly as I can from the NCSG. Some folks seem to be a bit preoccupied with the Internet Governance Forum coming up, but I'll still try to get them to do this before the deadline. And my question, though, is, would you like this? I'm sorry, Alan, can you hear me?
We can hear you. It's not very clear. I don't know if it's just me or others, but it's not very clear. This is Chuck. It's not real clear. But go ahead with your question, and I'll see if I make sure I can get it. If I can, I'll ask for
All right, I'll try to speak slower, if that helps. My question is, at this point, would you like those same charts and the request for input to be delivered to the GNSO Council as an update on the working group? And the progress the working group is making.
Thanks, Amr. By the way, it's not that you're talking too fast. There's some fuzziness or something in coming through in the transmission is why. It's not how fast you're talking. But thanks for speaking more slowly anyway. Let me make sure I understand the question. This is Chuck speaking again. Are you asking whether we want feedback from the council? I didn't quite get your question.
Chuck, this is Armour. I'm typing the question in the chat to make it easier.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's appreciated. I'm getting most of what you're saying, but as Alan said in the chat, it's coming across garbled, and it looks like I'm not alone in trying to understand. So we'll take a look at what you're saying there. In the meantime, Mary's hand's up, so let me turn it over to Mary, and then we'll come back to what Amr just put in the chat. Mary, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck, and thanks, Amr, for the question. Marika and I had noticed that you had asked that question previously as well. So we looked at the schedule for the GNSO Council and, you know, what's on the agenda for at least the next meeting. Our suggestion would be to focus on this question of the flow charts in the chair's update to the GNSO at the LA meeting. One reason, obviously, is that the council already has its agenda for the 4th September meeting, and the other meeting between then and LA is the end of September. So given that we've asked for feedback from the SGs and constituencies, it seems to make scheduling sense at least to have this as part of the update in October. So that's our suggestion from the staff side.
Any other thank you, Mary. This is Chuck. Any other comments on that? Now, Mary, I have a – Chuck still speaking. I have a question for you. Without changing the agenda, wouldn't it be okay if, for example, if Amr just mentioned that we have asked for some feedback on a couple things that has been sent to the stakeholder groups and constituencies without going into the details, and to encourage everyone to make sure that it happens by the deadline.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Mary for the record, and I see that Amos just followed up on chat. Absolutely. And in fact, an email update may be helpful, because one other function that could serve is to put the council certainly on notice that there's going to be something fairly substantive that can be discussed in LA. So I think that would be a very good idea.
Good. Thank you, Mary. This is Chuck. And thanks, Amr, for asking. That was a great question. And hopefully you have the clarity that you need now. If not, please let us know. Okay. All right. Thank you. Now, I think we are on to agenda item 4, which we will spend probably most, if not all, of our time on in the rest of the meeting today. And hopefully, for those that have trouble sometimes seeing the detail in Adobe Connect, you might want to, if you don't already do it. Now, it looks pretty clear to me today, but I find it helpful to have a printed copy that I can flip around to, so if it's not on the page I'm at, I can do that. So that's one technique that I use that helps me stay on top in case I can't read things clearly in Adobe Connect, or just need to flip to a different section of the document that maybe not be posted at the time. So anyway, that's just an idea. You can do with it what you like. But what we're going to do is start looking at deliverable 2 and 3 and go through it somewhat like, pretty much like the way we did it for deliverable 1. And we're going to start that today. But before we actually start that, I'm going to ask Mary to give us a quick little overview of how deliverable 1 and the questions there relate to deliverables 2 and 3 and anything else that she thinks might be helpful to set the right context for this. Mary, it's all yours.
Thanks, Chuck, and everyone, this is Mary. So we thought that it might be a good place and time here today to do a bit of a status check as to where the group is with its work relative to the charter and all the tasks in the charter. And part of why we're suggesting that is because we've had a lot of documents and charts to consider, and of course with the new flow charts, that's added a lot of volume as well. So just as a reminder, the working group charter asked this working group to come up with a set of recommendations on 5 questions. And one of those questions was the one that we did for Deliverable 1, and that's the one that deals with a process for developing policy instead of the PDP, perhaps in the form of policy guidance. And in that context, we came up with what we're now calling the GGP and the GIP that has now been sent out to the stakeholder groups and constituencies for comment. Where we're going now with Deliverable 2 and 3 are the next 2 charter questions, and both questions are on the screen here at the top of the document. And the last charter question, which we will proceed with as Deliverable 4, has to do with guidance on the GNSO's implementation review teams. So this is kind of where we are and where else we have to go to the rest of the charter. 2 more things that I'll say is a question was raised as to some of the sub-questions that we put into column 1, both of deliverable 1 last week, as well as now you see here for 2 and 3. And the question was that some of these sub-questions were repeated across the last deliverable and this one. These questions can be found also in the charter, in that the council chose in the charter to put in a set of questions that they thought might be helpful to us in completing our work on the 5 charter questions. And because some of these sub-questions affect more than one of the charter tasks and questions, that's why they reappear, for example, in this particular chart. And so the other point then that I wanted to say is that once we're done with these various deliverables, we're all going to get back together and review all of them. And the deliverables are numbered the way they are because of the work plan that the group agreed on way at the start. So hopefully, Chuck, I've helped rather than confused everybody. But like I said, hopefully this is a helpful status check relative to the charter.
Thanks, Mary. I think it was very helpful. This is Chuck again. And just to point out to people, if you already haven't figured that out for yourself, and notice the hand clapping from Amr, so it was very good, Mary. Thanks, Amr. And if you look at Section A of the document we're looking at right now, you'll see that the questions there are identical to Section D of the deliverable one questions, okay? And then if you look at, and you don't need to scroll to this on the screen, so don't worry about that, but if you look at Section B in the document that we're looking at now, that the questions there map exactly to Section E of deliverable one. So that just kind of complements what Mary was saying. And so, yes, they are the same questions, but they also apply to what we're doing right now. So the plan of attack, unless somebody wants to suggest a different plan of attack, is that we're going to go through Section A and Section B. Each one of them in the middle column has the notes from our work in Deliverable 1. And if you look at the very top of the screen there where it says Deliverable 2 and 3, and if you read that sentence, which I won't read out completely, there are actually two high-level deliverables that we need to produce. One of them is criteria to distinguish between policy and implementation. And the second one is to develop a framework for discussing implementation options. And so what I would like to do is for us right now to start going through the bulleted points, starting with Section A there, and discuss and then hopefully agree on whether we think the bulleted point fits into the category of criteria or the category of framework. Or it could be both. It's possible it may be both, and eventually what will happen is we'll color code this so that when we come back and start working on developing specific criteria and also a framework, we'll be able to group these things together and start taking them a few steps further in terms of actually starting to finalize what we really need to produce here. Now, first of all, are there any questions in that approach or anybody that wants to modify that approach? Please raise your hand now. Not seeing any hands up or hearing anyone, let's start off with the first bullet. And again, the question we want to answer together is whether this bullet fits into the criteria category or the framework category or both. And I'll just to make sure we're all together, I am going to read the bullet. Who is doing the considering? That is the underlying question. And this is for questions A and B, by the way, over to the left. So who is doing the considering? That is the underlying question. If it is considered policy, GNSO Council is expected to act. If it is implementation, staff is tasked to implement. Answer may be different depending on who is considering. Consequence of debate may hold up the next steps. Now, again, we're not going to go back into discuss what's actually the content of this. All we're going to do right now is to identify whether we think this particular bullet point from our notes from Deliverable 1 applies primarily to criteria or to the framework or both? Somebody want to speak up first? Give you a chance to think about it. Okay, I see Michael's hand up. Sorry, I was a little slow. Michael, go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to give a quick answer. I think that's framework for the consideration.
And Michael, just Chuck, why do you think that?
Well, I mean, if it's the criteria, I mean, I suppose it could be criteria, but geez, if we're talking about the criteria for making the determination, that may be, frankly, different tracks according to who, but this is sort of within the framework of making that determination. The first question, and it isn't really a criteria for distinguishing the two, but I believe framework for making that consideration as to who is considering it.
Okay. Somebody else want to comment on this? This is Chuck again. Okay. Ann agrees. Okay. Jay Scott, you're up.
Yeah, I agree too. I mean, I think that we're going to have to at some point decide, and I think that it just becomes too amorphous if it's like, well, if staff is doing something, I think this is in the framework, and I think we say that, you know, in our framework, policy questions have to go to the council, and implementation with whatever guidance we come up with for any process that might involve how the GNSO is going to participate in implementation is different. It is treated differently and doesn't have to go through the same formal processes. So I think it's framework.
Thank you very much, Jay Scott. Chuck again. Let me throw a little curve in just to keep it fun. Is the issue of who is doing the considering, is that related to criteria? By the way, I fully agree that the middle part of this bullet is framework, and I think that's well identified. But I'm wondering whether a possible criterion will be that particular question. If who is doing the considering is a factor, that may be a criterion in terms of the rest of the where the framework comes into play. I throw that out just to see. By the way, I think we could color this bullet more than one color. For example, if you agree with me that who is doing the considering is a related to criterion, we could color that one color, and we could color the rest of it another color for framework. Does that make any sense in terms of what I said, or is it all framework? And I'm okay with that. And Amr put in the chat, go ahead. Amr, would you like to speak to that? Or are you okay with what you put in the chat?
This is Amr. Yeah, I'm okay with what I put in the chat. I'm just I'm not sure if you could hear me while I dialed back in.
Oh, you sound a lot better.
All right, great. Thanks. I didn't initially raise my hand to answer this question because I was kind of thinking about it. And the question at the beginning of the first bullet makes it a bit of a puzzle to me, considering what category this bullet would fall under. I agree with you. I think the answer to this question might change the context of where this belongs. And so I still am having a little trouble answering the question just with a bullet the way it is, with the question of who is doing the considering at the beginning. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. Chuck again. Mary, it's your turn.
Thank you, Chuck. This is Mary. one way to look at this is to look at the origin of the action in question. So if you're looking at things that we looked at under Deliverable 1, for example, all the various requests that come to the GNSO, usually via request to the council, then it basically that determines the universe of the types of actions that you're looking at. So in that sense, the question on who is doing the considering may have a rather obvious answer. I'm not really, you know, suggesting that it's either framework or criteria. It's possible, as what you and Amma are saying, it could be both. But it might be helpful to everyone in thinking through this to think about whether the universe of how this might even come up is already, you know, determined or limited in scope, and if that would help.
Thank you, Mary. This is Chuck again. So is there any opposition to considering marking the question about who is doing the considering as a criteria issue? And the other part of it as framework, or should we just mark the whole thing as both? Or just one? Again, I'm not trying to drive this discussion. Tom, please.
So my thought is that the GNSO needs to do the considering, full stop. Because any other answer leads down the morass that created this group in the first place. So I think if you ask who's doing the considering, it's the GNSO, and you make that your starting position. And so whenever, for example, someone sends a proposal directly to ICANN and they decide what to do with it, it simply should be turned over to somebody in the GNSO to consider whether or not that proposal is policy or implementation. So the default is GNSO does the considering.
Thank you, Tom. Chuck again. So is that a criterion, that the GNSO does the considering in terms of deciding whether something's what applies? Or is that just part of the framework? And I'll let you see if you want to respond to that, Tom.
Yeah, I think the framework is GSO is the body that does the considering.
So you would classify this whole bullet as a framework item. Is that right?
When you ask the question, who is doing the considering, my answer is GSO.
I heard that.
Right? And so, yeah, I think that's part of your framework. If something needs to be considered, it should be done by the GNSO.
Okay, so I don't want to belabor this one too long. So is anybody opposed strongly to just categorizing this one as a framework item? I don't see anyone. So let's classify it as a framework item, and I'm fine with that, and I'm not seeing any objections. Let's go to the second bullet. Still referring to questions A and B on the left there. Who should be watching over whether something is policy or implementation once policy recommendations have been adopted? Is that a framework question or a criteria question? And you can either put it in your answer in the chat or raise your hand, whatever you like. And I see Michael Graham put it in there. There is a framework item. Does anybody disagree with Michael on that? I got an agree. There's an agree in there. And I'm not going to tell me if I push ahead too quickly, but at the same time, I don't want to waste a lot of time just waiting. I'm not seeing if somebody needs more time to think about it. Just let us know in the chat. But let's go ahead. I'm not seeing any disagreement with that. So the second bullet would be a framework item. The third bullet says, how can consultation mechanisms be updated to also take into account input from other SOAC external parties ask others for input? Is the matter new policy or wait until someone declares that something is policy or implementation? That would trigger a process testing whether this is a broadly supported view. And we'll use the same approach. So we're now on the third bulleted item on the screen. Somebody want to make a first stab at that one, framework or criteria? And the thinking time is fine, so go ahead and contemplate it. Mary, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. And again, this is more to try to, you know, I guess, frame or move the discussion along. In looking at this bullet point, it seems to me that the origin of this is an assumption that this happens during, generally speaking, the so-called implementation phase. And I'm wondering if that's true. I mean, it seems to me that that's how it reads. So if that's the case, perhaps it's, you know, I noticed J. Scott just said framework, but I was going to say that it might be more of a criteria question on the explicit assumption that we're already in implementation when this arises, and I could be wrong on that.
Thanks, Mary. Chuck again. And an interesting thing that Jay Scott does in his statement that he thought it was framework, because it considers the how, and in fact, he may be giving us there a possible guideline that we can use to determine whether something is a framework issue if it has to do with the how. Mary, though, you suggested that it might be a criterion. Let's go ahead and look at what and Michael agreed with Jay Scott. Let's see what Amr has to say here. The input from SOs, ACs, et cetera, may be a criteria, but the answer to the question on how this is done seems to more a framework to me. So, Amr, do you think it's both, or are you leaning towards what Jay Scott suggested as it's a framework issue?
This is Amr. Yeah, I agree with Jay Scott because from what I can tell, the bullet is more about the how than it is about the actual criteria. So I would also say that this is framework. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Amr. Chuck again. Does anyone disagree with the third bullet being a framework item? Okay. Moving right along. And what we'll do after this meeting for those that are on the call is we'll ask Mary to send out a message with the table identifying what we identified each one as, and see if anybody else has any input in that regard before our next meeting. Going to the fourth bullet, and could we scroll to, I guess that bullet is fully showing, so I guess that's okay. Never mind. No need to scroll yet. Okay, so the fourth bullet says triggering mechanism that can be proactive or reactive needs to be in place, and a response mechanism needs to be in place. Who wants to take the first stab at this one?
Chuck, I see Alan's hand is up.
Oh, thank you. I was looking at the chat instead of up there. Alan, your turn.
Thank you. I'm going to have to leave in a little while, by the way. If I recall where this one came from, and I may have been one of the ones to do some of the yelling and screaming on it, it was really an issue of how do we recognize when something's wandering into policy, out of the forest of implementation and back into policy. And so we put these words in to say we need to be able to recognize it, but I'm not convinced that we're going to be able to come up with any sort of formulaic way of doing that other than people being alert and waving flags.
Okay, but back to our question, Alan, Chuck speaking.
Yeah.
Do you see this bullet as a framework issue or a criteria issue?
I don't know.
Okay. That's a fair answer. Does it, and if we go back to, this is Chuck still speaking, if we go back to using Jay Scott's helpful suggestion there, if it has to do with the how, it may be a framework issue. Does that apply here? And I haven't looked at Michael, so let me jump over to the chat now. An interesting point, Michael. Hopefully everybody else is reading that. And assuming everyone can, since I think everyone's in the Adobe. So it may be that the frame, I think what you're saying, Michael, and I'd like you to comment on this, if you would, please, that we should draft the framework first, and then that will lead into developing the criteria. Is that what you're saying, Michael? Would you comment on that, please?
Yes, Michael, for the record. Just as we're going through this, I think, you know, some of these are important in establishing, going back to the first one where we say who's considering, and then we really come into the consideration and the comments that really it should be GNSO that's considering, which sort of limits down things. So whereas first I was thinking, well, now we've got two chains of criteria according to who's considering it, and then within the framework definition, actually, we were deciding, well, it's a GNSO. So it just seems to me as we're going through this, in terms of understanding who's going to be doing it and how they're going to be doing it, might be a way of establishing sort of a general ground, then going through the criteria that we think would be appropriate, and then going back, and as part of that criteria developing process, considering, you know, maybe there's some change that we have to make with the framework. Obviously, the two of them, as we're talking, are interrelated. But I was just trying to find a way, once we get through this process that we're involved in now, of the best way of handling it in the next step. So I guess, one, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I wanted to make that comment because too many of my observations to myself will float away by the end of the day of our discussion.
Thank you, Michael. Chuck again. Mary, it's your turn.
Thanks, Chuck, and thank you, Michael. Just so, you know, playing off of what Michael's suggesting, it may be that in going through these bullet points with the way that we're doing and having, you know, like a tentative or preliminary classification as we're doing now will be helpful when we come back at the end, and hopefully this will be a relatively quick exercise, and then to see if in our preliminary categorization we actually have the elements or outlines of a framework. And if we don't, what's missing? And look at what that framework then looks like before going into the criteria that Michael's suggesting. I don't think I'm suggesting anything different. I'm, I think, following on from that to try and suggest how we can do it and the timing of it. And in that regard, you know, my original comment was about the bullet points themselves. And it goes back to what Tom was saying earlier and what I was trying to say. I think when I look back at the charter questions 3 and 4, and it's on the top of this document here, the framework part talks about a framework for implementation-related discussions. And what Alan said was, well, you know, this question of the triggering mechanism, it, when does that come up? When I look at the left-hand side column, this really derived from our earlier discussion of what lessons can be learned from past experience, and my recollection is the triggering discussion and even the consultation discussion from the earlier bullet point emerged from this lessons learned discussion. In other words, that there were prior experiences where, as part of implementation, there were things that could be described by policy, at least by some, and therefore we needed better consultation, therefore we need a triggering mechanism, we don't have one. So that's two separate comments. The first on how to pick up on Michael's point, and the second in terms of classifying this particular bullet point. Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you, Mary. Chuck again. So to try and maybe point this in a particular direction, I don't see anything in bullet four that really would provide any criteria. At the same time, I think the triggering mechanism and a response mechanism could be part of a framework. So if I can kind of take the chair's prerogative to keep this thing moving, would anybody object to calling this one a framework item? Alan.
Yeah, no, I'm not objecting. The problem is that if you go back to the original discussions with this, we were identifying a problem. That is, when we're wandering along and implementing, how do we pull ourselves back and realize that there's a policy discussion? And we put this comment in essentially as a reminder that we need to find the way to do it, but there may not be a specific way. It may simply be that we need to be conscious of the issue. And from that perspective, I guess it goes into the framework, but I'm not sure it's a real step. It's one of those, almost caveats that needs to be, we need to be aware of as we're going through the process, as opposed to a particular aspect of the process, that occurs at a certain time. So I'm not sure it fits into the model we're using, but I guess it fits within the framework somehow.
Thank you, Alan. And not seeing any objections, let's go. And by the way, your points are well taken. And we shouldn't look at this as too rigid an exercise. Just because we put it in a framework box doesn't restrict us in terms of what we're going to do going forward. So for right now, we'll do that. And we may find that this exercise doesn't produce very much. If we end up with everything in frameworks, we may find that their exercise isn't particularly useful. That may be unfortunate, but maybe if nothing else, it's getting our thinking mechanisms going on this in terms of moving forward. So for now, we'll put that one on framework, and now let's scroll to the next. There's one more bullet for questions A and B. If we can move that one up to the top in the Adobe.
I think what Chuck, this is just Scott. I think you can do that yourself.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I see I'm using this hard. There we go. I got it. Okay. And I actually was able to do it so that I could keep questions A and B still on the screen as well. So that one is, in current environment, IRTs have been given responsibility by GNSO Council to assess whether policy recommendations are implemented as intended and flag to the GNSO Council when this does not happen. However, further processes may need to be defined around that happens. Seems like a word missing there, but I think we have the gist of it there. So is this another framework item? Are there any possibilities of some criteria in that? This is really implementation review teams is something, of course, we're going to get in a future deliverable when we talk about that more specifically. But is this part of the? Is this really a point that's with regard to a possible framework? I see Amr and Mary are typing. Let's see what we get. Seems more an observation. I guess that's not specific. specifically related to my question.
No, no, I think she is, and I agree with her. This is Jay Scott, Chuck. I think what I see her saying, and what I understand, is this sort of is like a summary of where we end up, because we don't have a process and we don't have any criteria, and this is sort of the reality of what's going on today. This is the current state of play.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I'm not so sure it's necessarily weighs into one way or the other. I just think it's saying where we are today, this is how it's been working.
Good point. Thanks.
And I think Armour's hands up.
Yeah, and I'm calling on Armour next.
Thanks, Chuck and Jay Scott. Yeah, I think I agree with what Mary and Jay Scott are saying, and I think this could become framework when these further processes are defined and criteria are established within the processes to help an IRT determine whether something is policy or implementation. I would still say that this is more framework than it is criteria, but it's not quite there just yet, I think. Thanks.
Thanks, Armour. Chuck again. So let's go on to – so that'll be a fit into neither for right now, but it is a comment that we'll keep in mind as we go forward. Going then to question C, which is under what circumstances, if any, may the GNSO Council make recommendations or state positions to the board on matters of policy and implementation as a representative of the GNSO as a whole? And then the first bullet for that one, and there are four, is all circumstances except if it concerns new contractual requirements that would require a PDP. So, what would you classify this one? Framework? Criteria? Jay Scott.
Criteria.
You mean we really got a criterion one, maybe?
Yeah, because it looks like, you know, what are the circumstances? So what is the, you know, that looks like a threshold criteria question.
Yeah, I think you're right. Anybody disagree with that? This is Chuck.
Chuck, it's Michael. I would agree in terms of the answer to this sort of question, which it remains to me, is the one that creates criteria. I don't know if this is criteria itself, but it's certainly the question that leads to criteria rather than framework.
Right. Thanks, Michael. I think you said that well, and these don't necessarily have to have clearly stated criteria in them, thanks for expressing it that way. I think that's helpful. Anybody disagree with the criterion category for this one? Okay, moving right along. The council is composed of representatives of stakeholder groups and constituencies. Unless these oppose, the council is able to speak on behalf of the council. How about that one? Tom.
Well, yeah, I actually was going back to the first bullet.
That's okay.
Which just
go ahead.
So I just had a question about the qualifier there. Who decides if new contractual requirements require a PDP? Or do all new contractual requirements require a PDP?
This is Chuck speaking. I think the answer to that is no. At least they haven't historically. There are certain topics that are eligible for PDPs. There are some that aren't. So that in itself answers your question. So certainly all new contractual requirements don't require a PDP. But certainly any that would fall into the list of what is called the picket fence would require a PDP, I believe. Now let me stop talking. Let me go back to Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. So that assumes then that this issue comes up after someone has determined that a PDP is required due to a new contractual requirement?
Okay. I think that's right. Chuck speaking again. Let's jump over to Alan. Alan, please jump in.
Yeah, the situation is not clear. Anything could be negotiated between the parties, but the catch is for things like registry contracts where there's already a number of existing registries, a PDP is required to change the existing contracts without having to have bilateral negotiations, and only if it's within the picket fence areas are contracted parties bound by those changes. In theory, if you look at something like the RAA, the RAA in this last revision changed all sorts of things that are, that were within the picket fence, and but that was done essentially as a bilateral negotiation, and therefore the PDP is bypassed in that sense. The PDP is required if you're trying to change something within the picket fence unilaterally without in the involvement of some of the contracted some of the people who hold the contracts. So it's a bit messy. And Chuck, if you go back to the PDP that was labeled PDP 06 or 05, I don't remember which, the contractual provisions contract, the PDP did talk about things which were not within the picket fence. They weren't necessarily binding on the board, but that doesn't restrict the PDP from happening.
Right. Thanks, Alan. Good points. Greg, you're up.
Hi, Greg Shatton. I think this whole contractual obligation, contractual requirements thing kind of got in here kind of as a legacy of Jeff Newman's attempt to create a definition of policy versus implementation, but I don't think it was ever really fleshed out at that time. So, I think that the whole idea here of, picket fence aside, that the contractual obligations somehow, create, are a signifier of policy versus implementation is probably, awkward and not, something that would be a rule. And I've never liked or maybe even completely understood that type of definition or linkage that was made, at that time, probably about Durbin or so. Just caution us all, I think, to, be wary of kind of looking at that as a starting point rather than something that we really need to kick the tires on. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Chuck again, and I think Mary makes a very good and helpful comment in the chat where she said, and she's right too in my assessment. Consensus policies require a PDP, but not all contractual requirements concern GTLD policy, so those wouldn't require a PDP. And she corrected in the GTLD consensus policies in her next entry there. So on this one, I think we probably ought to make a note that I don't think this is worded accurately here on that first bullet under question C, based on the input from both Alan and Mary there. So we probably ought to try and fix the wording on this so it's more accurate. Regardless of that, though, I come back to I think this is still a criterion issue rather than a framework issue. Is there any disagreement on that? Not seeing any. And Mary, will you fix that as best you can see fit, and we can just redline it so people can see the changes that were made in the wording of that? And thanks, Tom, for the question you raised. Let's go back then to the second bullet under question C. Does anybody have a thought in terms of where that fits? Council is composed of representatives of stakeholder groups and constituencies. Unless those oppose, then the council is able to speak on behalf of the council. forget too much for now whether that is an accurate statement, and let's focus on the question, is that a criterion, a framework, or maybe just kind of a state of play thing like we decided on the earlier one? Amr, you're first.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Amr, and I actually wanted to track back for just a second to the first bullet under question C, because I think I kind of agree with the first comment that it should probably be a criteria or possibly lead to criteria. And the way I read this is that if this is a new contractual requirement that would require a PDP, then it is, by definition, a GTLD consensus policy. It is not a contractual requirement that falls outside of that scope, but within that scope. So I don't think there's anything really wrong with the wording of this bullet. I may be wrong, but the way I see it, it's fine, and it may not be a criteria. It's a broad criteria that needs to be perhaps better defined. Thanks.
So, Amr, this is Chuck. Are you saying that you think that all new contractual requirements would require a PDP?
No, I'm saying all new GTLD consensus policies require a PDP. Any new contractual requirements based on GTLD consensus policies, and that's what I think is being singled out in this bullet. So it's not saying that all new contractual requirements need a PDP, but they're saying all new contractual requirements that would require a PDP, and those are limited to GTLD consensus policies.
So it sounds to me that you're saying this, the wording could be made more clear here.
Yeah, possibly, but I don't think it's necessarily bad wording, but I guess it could be made clear. Yeah, thanks.
Okay. All right. So Mary, I would like to see if you can fix it. I think several of us have read it a little bit differently. That in itself probably indicates that some fixing of the wording might be helpful on this. Greg, your turn.
Hi, it's Greg Shatton again. I think this is still concerning me, and I think that to some extent this test may itself have arisen out of a results-oriented analysis in trying to state that certain parts of the straw man for trademark for rights protection were creating new contractual obligations and therefore had to be dealt with as policy rather than in implementation. There were those who disagreed with that and still disagree with that analysis. I think it would be help to be much more clear about this, including, some specific examples, especially to make sure that we're not falling into a kind of results-oriented analysis of this point. It's one thing when you're talking about contractual obligations, are we actually talking about, renegotiating contracts, or what, and that certain, deciding what is in fact, a quote-unquote contractual obligation and whether or not in fact it is creating new policy or whether it is in fact implementation, to my mind, is far from an open and shut question. And I'm very concerned about using this as a litmus test. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. And we're out of time, so I'm going to have to wrap this up quickly. But let's not get too hung up on the exact wording right now, other than to make sure that we're clear on what we're saying there and that we're accurate. When we actually get to developing criteria, I think is when we're going to have to really get down to the nitty-gritty of what you're talking about. Alan, be very brief because we're over time.
Very brief. I think the phrase new contractual requirements that would require a PDP is a very long, convoluted phrase that means capital consensus policies.
I think you're right. Thanks for that. Now, I want us to evaluate what we just did in most of this meeting right here. Is this particular approach of going through these, do you think it is useful? Should we continue this the next opportunity we get, which may be the meeting after the next one, or should we approach this a different way? And we don't have a lot. We don't have time really to discuss it. But if you think that this exercise that we went through today on just five bullet points is useful to continue, if you do, would you click and agree in the Adobe Connect room there? Okay. Couple people do. Anne disagrees. Another agree. Okay, so mixed. Okay, and that's okay. I don't think it's terribly clear to me either. What I'd like to ask you to do, because we're out of time, is in our email list, if you don't think this was useful, suggest some ways that you think would be more effective and productive for us in going through these bulleted items. So certainly those that disagreed, even those that didn't say one way or the other, or you thought that it was useful, if you can think of some ways that we could improve our methodology here in terms of going through these, please put that on the list in the next week or so, so that when we do resume going through these, we can do it hopefully more effectively. And with that, I want to just turn it over to Mary in conclusion, because our meeting next week will have a very different agenda, and we're all going to receive something in the next day or so that we need to review before that meeting. So, Mary, would you briefly give us an overview of that?
Sure. Thank you, Chuck. And I noticed that my colleague Amy is on the call, and Amy will be involved with the call next week. In some ways, timing-wise, this is jumping ahead of our work just a little bit, because it does look ahead to the next charter question. But essentially what we did was work with our colleagues in the Global Domains Division, Amy particularly, and asked them to help with coming up with an implementation framework to at least implement consensus policies, which could be shared with this group, that would help to frame our discussions for when we come to talk about implementation and specifically IRTs. So in terms of scheduling, it seemed helpful to get that to you before we actually jumped into that deliverable, and that will be a discussion and presentation by Amy and perhaps others next week. Chuck?
Thank you very much, Mary. This is Chuck. Anybody have a question on that? Okay, so please find time to review the materials in advance. That'll facilitate the session next week that Jay Scott will be chairing. And with that, since we're over time, I am going to adjourn the meeting. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Once again, that does conclude today's teleconference. Please disconnect all remaining lines, and thank you very much for joining.